This is the last installment of Dress to Kill, called The Sword of the Spirit. How many of you guys have gotten something out of the series, this six-week-long series that we've been doing called Dress to Kill? And you've taken it out of Ephesians 6 concerning the armor of God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start in verse 10, and I'm just going to read it straight through. So let's start in verse 10. I don't know if it's up there, but... Here we go. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Everybody say, "Full armor of God." Now, let me ask you a question. Who puts on this armor? Is it us, or do we rely on God to do it? We do it. We're grown-ups here. We no longer have to be dressed by our parents anymore. Amen? We are grown up. We are out of the house, per se. And so Paul is saying we have to put on the armor of God, not rely on God to put it on for us, because He has given it to us. And it's up to us to put it on. Amen? "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you might be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then in the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Amen. Father, we thank You that when You sent Your Son and to die for us, and He ascended back into heaven based upon Your power, that same resurrection power now has its abode and its dwelling with inside of us. Thank You, Jesus, that You did not send us out into this world defenseless, but You gave us weaponry. You gave us armor that is fitted and suited just for us, so that we can overcome the schemes and the plans of the evil one over our life. And Lord, when we've done everything to stand our ground, we will stand knowing that Your right hand upholds us. And Father, we thank You that You have given us this power, You have given us this authority to speak and declare and to confess over our lives. And I thank You, Father, for the power of prayer, the ability to reach up and to get a direct line with You, Lord, that empowers, that emboldens us to overcome. I thank You, Father, that we are not doormats, but we are strong soldiers of God, able to overcome, not by our own strength, but by Your Spirit. By Your Spirit, we are able to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, thank God that we don't live in a constant state of war. How many of you guys would just love to stay in a constant state of war? You know, even the strongest warrior has got to have rest sometime. There's got to be a time and a season of peace. That's what Ecclesiastes says, that there's a time for everything under the sun. And one of those times is rest. One of those times is warring. And what we need to understand in our life, that it's just like now. We know that winter is here to stay. Can anybody say, "Oh my"? Not amen, oh my. All right. And so we know winter is here to stay, but there might be some people that will wake up at 2 degrees and put on a pair of shorts and flip-flops and a T-shirt and go to work. Maybe they'll go down to Bay Beach and just say, you better open right now because I want to go in there and I want to ride that new ride. So somebody needs to come out here. There'll be somebody come out there, though. They'll have lights and the handcuffs and put you in the loony farm. In other words, we have to know what season that we are in order to operate correctly. Amen? Some of the reasons why we have frustration in our life is because we don't want to admit that we are in a season of warring in the spirit. Sometimes we are in a season of peace, but we want to have war. Sometimes we are in a season of rest, but we want to be busy because we feel bad for resting. Some of us, all of us, need to understand and function and operate in the season of life that each and every one of us is in. Amen? It's not always going to be summer for everybody. Some of us are going to be in wintertime. Some of us are going to be in the fall time or in the springtime. But each and every one of us are in a season. And until you come to the realization of what season you are in, you will never completely be able to fully operate in the season that you are in. Amen? I don't want to walk around in the summertime with a snow shovel. I won't do that. It reminds me of wintertime. All right, I don't want to do that. Some of us are doing that, though. Some of us put heavy burdens upon our life in seasons that we should not be carrying those burdens. Some of us are warring when we should not be warring. We should be equipping ourselves, letting the peace of God restore our soul from the fight that we were just in. Some of us are fighting fights that we should not be fighting. Amen? We should be in a time of restoration, in a time of peace. But see, sometimes we feel bad about that because, well, everybody else is warring around us, but God is saying, it's peacetime for you. Because you have wounds, you have battle scars upon you that need to heal, and you need the peace of God to flood your soul and bring peace to you so that you can be good. A wounded soldier is no good to his comrades on the battlefield, amen? And so we have to be healthy. And so in order for us to be healthy in whatever season it is, we've got to discern and operate in the season that we are in. And though no one else may understand the season that we are in, we need to have peace knowing that God has got us exactly where He wants us to be. Amen? Sometimes we have to say no to people that are pulling on us and tugging on us. That means that other people are going to get offended by your stance of peace in your restoration time that you are in. But that's okay. Because what good are you empty? Amen? What good are you if you are in the valley of dry bones and you have nothing to give? That's why we have to be in the spirit, in the season that we are in and operating in the season that we are in. Amen? And so this morning I want to talk to you about the sword of the Spirit. Now the sword that the Roman soldiers carried, there was one particular sword that was about a foot and a half long. And at the end of it, it kind of curved up a little bit. And it did that so that it would cause maximum damage to the enemy. Maximum damage to the enemy. Now, this sword also had two edges to it. You guys remember the Bible verse that says that the Bible is sharp, quick, sharper than any two-edged sword? Two-edged sword. It's deadly, extremely deadly. Now, again, we're talking about biblical spiritual warfare here. We're not talking about just shouting into the wind, spitting into the wind. We're not talking about just wasting our time with emotion. But whenever the enemy comes at our door, we are to meet him with deadly force. Amen? Nudge your neighbor and say, deadly force. Because the enemy wants to do this. He's coming at you with every single thing that he has to kill, steal, and destroy you. Amen? Some of you don't believe that in this room, but I'm telling you, the enemy has your name, your address. He has a great GPS system that knows how to get straight to your door. And if we have open doors in our life, then he will go in our house unchecked. Amen? And then we look around and go, how did I get here? How did I get in this place? How did I get in a place of no joy? How did I get in a place of destruction? How did I get in a place of confusion? How did I get in a place of woundedness or abandonment or whatever it is? How did I get in this place? And if we'll look around and if we'll be honest with ourselves, it's because we've left doors wide open. Left them wide open. Now, I want to talk to you guys about, we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago about what the written word was and what rhema word is. We talked about the difference between the two. And I want to get a little deeper in the rhema word. So you ready this morning? Here we go. Paul goes on to give us more information about this word. He says this, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The term word is taken from the Greek word rhema, which is one of the most familiar Greek words used in the New Testament. It describes something that is spoken clearly, spoken vividly, spoken in undeniable language, or spoken unmistakable, certain, and definite terms. That's what a rhema word is. A rhema word is in your face. It is the glaring light that brings light to everything else. It makes sense in your chaos. It brings a word that is definitive just for you. Amen? Now, the danger of a rhema word sometimes is that that's all we want. We'll go to this conference and we'll go to that conference. We'll go to this person and that person and we'll ask, you got a word for me? You got a word for me? You got a word from the Lord today? That's not right, because that's what we get caught up in doing sometimes. I need to call this person and see if they got a word for me. I need to go on this website and see if they got a word for me. I need to go here, here, and there, there. But a rhema word of God starts first in the Word of God. Amen? Because the Bible says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living. Amen? It's active. Now, there's a lot of books that will inspire you, but there's no other book on the face of the earth that is living, that is active, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, able to cut through the confusion in your life. How many of you guys need a rhema word today in your life? Amen? So, it describes something that is spoken clearly. Something that is distinctive only to you. Everybody else may go, I have no idea what that guy said. And the other person in the other row is going, whoa. I've been praying about that for a year, and that just dropped into my spirit right then, and I now understand. How many guys ever had that happen to you before? That is rhema word. That is rhema word. Now, in the New Testament, the word rhema carries the idea of a quickened word, like a word from Scripture, or direct word from the Lord that brings clarity to believers' minds, causing it to come alive to that person that maybe only you would be able to know and to understand. I remember one time when I was in my college dorm room, I was reading a particular Scripture, and I'd read it 100 times. And there was one word in there that made everything come together for me. And I remember I sat in my dorm room all by myself and I wept like a baby. Because that word became rhema to me. It went from the realm of written word to revelated word in my life. And it brought life to me. It brought understanding to me. Now, if my roommate came in and I said, man, you've got to read this. I mean, I got tears in my face. You got to read this. And I read it to him and he goes, yeah, that's a good scripture. And I go, are you kidding me? I've been crying for 30 minutes over this word. Look, this one particular word has changed everything for me. He goes, that's great, Jimmy. It's great. I'm going, you're not getting it. I got a revelation from the Holy Spirit of God, and it has changed me. You see, that's how distinct the Spirit of God is for you and I. He knows exactly what word, exactly what moment, exactly what time and place to impart into your life. And it is up to you to position yourself to receive rhema word from God. Amen? Because whenever you position yourself, I told you the story of Elisha. And Elijah was walking through, and he saw Elisha plowing his field, and he said, come and follow me. And then he followed him, burned his plow, forsook everything, went after Elijah and followed him. And then years later, Elijah told Elisha, he said, I'm going to heaven. And he said, and Elisha goes, well, hey, before you go, I want a double portion of what you have. Because Elijah is speaking into Elisha to take his place. And so Elisha said, look, I've seen what you've been through, and I've seen this spiritual attacks upon your life, and I need a double portion of what you have. And Elijah said, well, you've asked a hard thing. He said, but if you will position yourself, and if you see me when I go up to heaven, then you will have what you asked. And Elisha's like, look, I'm attached right here to your hip. I'm not going anywhere. And there was a couple of times where Elijah tested him on that. He said, you stay here while I go over here and minister. And Elisha said, no, I'm coming with you. Several times he said that. Finally, Elijah is taken up to heaven and just profound, amazing style in a chariot of fire. I want to do that. Why can't I do that? What, wouldn't that be awesome? Invite some friends and family over and say, see you later. Here comes my ride. I'm going. And so what happens is Elijah positions himself to see his mentor leave. And as he does, Elijah took off his cloak, which represented the anointing of God, and threw it upon Elisha. And he had what he asked for. He had that double portion. And we as believers need to position ourselves to receive the written word of God so that the rhema word of God will become alive in our life. Amen? If we neglect the word, no rhema word will come to our life. We'll seek it elsewhere. We'll look in the paper and see what our horoscope says for today. We'll line up our whole week to what our horoscope says. I know a bunch of Christians that do that, and it's pitiful. It's not of God. If you're doing that, stop that. Because you're opening yourself up to the demonic in your life. Amen? Now, I'm going to speak some truth to you this morning. I want to help you this morning. Is that all right? What we need to look for goes no further than the Word of God in our life. We don't need an angel to tell us. We don't need fairy dust to come down from heaven. We don't need feathers from heaven. We don't need emeralds on the floor. We don't need anything but the written, inspired Word of God in our life. The only person that hinders us from the written Word of God and the manifest rhema Word of God is us. It's you. Pastor, I don't have time, man. I've had a bunch of family in this weekend. So have I. They're sitting right here. We're like musical chairs in the bathrooms and stuff, you know. We're brushing our teeth in here, taking showers up here. We're getting it all done. I love it. It's great. But you know what? Busyness is no excuse for not getting into the living, active Word of God. Amen? I was talking to, Courtney last night. I said, Liz, she goes, she's busy at school and everything else. And I said, listen, you put your earbuds in here. Listen to the Word of God. Let it regenerate your mind. Let it regenerate your spirit. On the job, if they let you, put it in. allow someone else to read the Word of God over your life. If you got a CD, whatever it is, put it in as you're going down the road. If you drive a lot for your job, if you study a lot, you're in school, put those earbuds in and let somebody speak the Word of God over you. Amen? At night, before you get up, put a scripture verse down by your bed. Do whatever it takes to get the Word of God, the living, active Word of God in your spirit. Amen? Don't go to horoscopes. Don't call the 900 numbers and ask to speak to whoever she is. Get in the Word of God. Get in His presence so that His Spirit can infuse you with that Rhema Word of God. Amen? That way you don't have to be calling everybody. You have the Rhema Word. Amen? So these Rhema words, man, they're powerful. When the Holy Spirit drops a word into your spirit by what you have read, it becomes part of who you are. It begins to heal you. It begins to motivate you. It begins to put you on a higher plane. It begins to show you where you are from a different point of view and a different angle. So that you can see, I cannot give up now because my victory is just two more steps ahead. Amen? So many of us give up when the battle is in the heat of the moment. That we give up before we get that Rhema word from God. And so it gives us a different perspective. And whenever that Rhema word is dropped into our spirit, we know it without a shadow of a doubt. We don't need an interpretation because it has spoken directly to us in a Rhema living word. Amen. Jesus referred to this quickening, this Rhema word in John chapter 14, 26. He says this, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." See, the Holy Spirit isn't a person that just comes to make us feel good, to make us jitter, to make us get some goosebumps. No, the Holy Spirit testifies what Jesus has spoken to us. Amen? The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, the one that is called along beside of to give us revelation, to give us authority, to give us power, to speak that which Christ has spoken over our life. The Holy Spirit has no other agenda. He has no other word than what the Father and the Son has given Him to say. Amen? And so because of that, the working of the Holy Spirit should be in operation in every one of our lives, moving powerfully in our lives. So, Rhema word is a specific word or a message that the Holy Spirit quickens in our hearts and in our minds. Specific timing for a specific purpose in our life. So when Paul says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he is referring to the Holy Spirit's ability to make such divine words vivid and alive to you. Amen? Now, there's an example. Have you ever, again, you ever been just reading the Word of God and all of a sudden something just leaps off of the page and it just brings revelation to you, it brings understanding to you, brings healing to you? That's what a Rhema word is. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to mention to you today. And I want you to get familiar with one of them. You already know. We hear it all the time. But there's two words. Number one, meditation. Number two, confession. Now, when I talk about meditation, I'm not talking about this. Some of you guys are freaking out before I got to that part, all right? So, we're not talking about this type of meditation. This is the kind of meditation I'm talking about. This is the meditation that I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting alone with the Word of God, getting in your prayer closet. I don't care if it's a broom closet. I don't care if it's a bathroom. I don't care if it's a closet in your room. Get alone somewhere where the Word of God can feed your soul. Amen? The New Agers didn't come up with meditation. It originated in the Word of God, amen? And perverted by this world. That's why the Bible says that we have to meditate upon the Word of God. When we meditate upon the Word of God, it causes the Word of God to be infused into our spirit, come alive in our flesh, giving fresh fruit and fresh revelation to our mind, and causing us to go forward. Amen? And so when we meditate on something, we focus on it. We bring it into focus into our life. And confession causes us to be real with God. There's power in confession. How many of you guys know that? When we get out of the secret realm and start confessing stuff, man, I really messed up here. I just want to confess that. Lord, I no excuses. Lord, I sinned. Stop telling the Lord that you messed up. Tell the Lord, Father, I've sinned against you. All this unbelief that's been going on in my life, I've sinned against you, Lord. Before you held my hand, but because of my unbelief, because of my persistent unbelief, I'm now in sin, Lord. See, we don't want to call unbelief sin. We just want to call it I'm just having trouble believing. And we stay in that perpetual state of unbelief and disbelief, and we wonder why the revelated Word of God is not coming alive to us. We wonder why that the Word of God is not nourishing us like it should. We wonder why it's such a drudgery to get it out and to read it. Okay, it's just one more thing. Here we go. It's just one more thing. Here we go. And hey, look, I know that we all go through those times. I go through those times. But we have to recognize the times that we are in and not put up with it. Amen? There's got to be a time when we put the enemy on notice and say, that's enough. Father, I've sinned against you. I have not allowed your word to have preeminence in my life. Therefore, I've sinned against you, Father. Forgive me. I confess that. Help me to meditate on your precepts. Help me to meditate upon your laws, because in it is life. Psalms 119:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalms 119:15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Meditation has its birth in the Word of God, not in the New Age movement. Amen. Because it restores our soul. Meditation is crucial for a believer's life. And again, I'm not sitting here talking about sitting Indian style and humming. I'm talking about getting alone with the Lord and the Word of God, and let it permeate through your life. Let it begin to work in you again. Let it begin to be like the potter. You know, the Bible says that the Father is like the potter, and we are the clay. And the more that we allow His Word to sweep over our life and chafe us. Do you know the Bible chafes us? You know the Bible offends us? It offends my flesh. It tells me that I must die to myself. It tells me that I've got to give up all of my aspirations, all of my plans. Man, I worked hard to get my plans in order. Now God's trying to tell me He's got a better way. He's got a better position for my life. And then on top of that, He tells me to die to myself? Come on. It's very difficult. But when we understand the reason why we have to die, the reason why we have to throw our hands up and say, I surrender, the reason why we have to die daily to our flesh, because in it, He can birth His will and His plans for our life. Because see, there's beauty in dying. There's beauty in dying, knowing that we give up ourselves and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done in my life. You see, Jesus, He was faced with that very thing. He had taught people the way. He had invested in people. He had done every single thing that He was supposed to do, yet He was faced with a decision to live or to die. And He agonized. He was agonizing. And the Bible says that Jesus, in that moment, in that place of stress, in that moment of darkness, in that moment of bleakness, in that moment of feeling that God was far away from him, he said this, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Amen? You see, we feel like that we can't serve the Lord unless there's peace in our life. The Bible never says that. Peace only comes in through dying, through yielding, through giving up, through surrendering. That's where peace begins. That's when you can hear the Holy Spirit talk to you. That's when we can have the Word of God sweep over our soul. Because our plans conflict with the Word. Amen? Oftentimes our plans conflict with the Word. Now, meditation, again, it's crucial for a believer's life. This is a good time to bring up the double-edged sword thing again, okay? Now, I want you to also understand that the second edge, the first edge, the sharp edge, is the written Word of God, okay? The second edge of the sword is of the Spirit is you speaking and declaring God's Word over your life. Speaking and declaring God's Word. When God's Word begins to work inside you, it cuts through all the muck and mire of your life. It cuts through the confusion. And it begins to start setting things in order again. Ignoring the Word of God will allow old patterns and wrong thinking to develop in your head again. How many of you guys know that a lot of this is a mental thing? Because if the enemy can get into your mind, it will seep down into your spirit, and you will begin to believe the lies of the enemy. Are you with me this morning? When we allow the enemy to permeate things in our mind, and most of the time, immediately when those thoughts come in, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous, some of the thoughts that the devil would throw at us. But as that door is open in your life, that thought would have never come in unless that door was open. But as that word keeps coming in from the enemy, it no longer seems ridiculous, but it seems plausible. It seems to make sense now that I think about it. And the more it makes sense, the more I kind of believe that that's true. And because I think it's true, that's who I am. I can't believe this. I can't believe this is who I am. And then we get stuck in this pattern that the enemy has thrown at us. And we are subjects to his coming and goings in our life. Why? Because we let one ridiculous thought from the enemy continue to play over and over and over again in our life. As believers, we don't have to put up with that. Amen? We don't have to put up with that. We can speak and declare things over our life. Even though we don't feel it, even when we're hurting, even when we're wounded, we can still speak the written, living, and active Word of God over our life, and the enemy has to flee. Amen? You know, it's interesting to note here that in the Bible, there's a picture of Jesus, and there's a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. There's a picture of a double-edged sword. If you go to Springfield, Missouri, it's one thing. I went to the national headquarters of the Assemblies of God once when I was in school in Springfield, Missouri, and they have this huge picture of Jesus on a white horse, and man, he has got fiery eyes. And he's about to come back. And one thing that struck me was a sword, a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And I want you to know, when you think of someone that is mounted on a horse and a warrior, you think about a warrior with a sword in his hand. But it's very interesting to note that the sword wasn't in his hand, it was coming out of his mouth. Because he was declaring his own word to the nations. He was declaring his own word to the nations. And that is a picture and an object lesson for you and I, that we have got to speak and decree and declare the word of God over our life. Amen? We've got to be just like Jesus. It's not just holding the Word of God in His hand, but is speaking it with His mouth and confessing it until we believe it. Amen? You ever heard the old saying, fake it till you make it? Say it over your life. You may not believe it. You may not have the total revelation over your life by it, but speak the living, active Word of God over your life daily, so that that Word can penetrate your life, so that it can dictate your comings and goings in this world and cause you to overcome. And matter of fact, cause other people to seek you out concerning the Word of God in your life. Amen? I can tell you that it's true because people come to me and seek out the Word. Why? Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I went to Bible college. It's because the written Word of God, it has revelation and preeminence in my life. And because of it, it spews out. It comes out. And that's what each and every one of us needs here today. We need the Word of God, that rhema Word of God flowing from our mouth. Amen? So, lastly, this. I want to give you a surefire guarantee this morning. A guarantee. If you permit the written Word to have an authoritative role in your life today, not tomorrow, but today, you will be ready to face the schemes of the enemy in the future. Refuse to allow the devil to beat you down in defeat any longer with his lies and accusations. Allow the Holy Spirit to wield a powerful rhema Word in your spirit. Then the enemy will be the one who is leaving the scene, demoralized, downcast, and thrown where he's supposed to be. Amen? Off of our life, off of our family, out of our mind, and out of our life. Amen? Let's stand up this morning. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Let me say that again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Let me say that again. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Your struggle isn't with your brother. Your struggle isn't with your job. Your struggle isn't with what's going on in your marriage and your relationship or whatever in your past. But it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand your ground. Now, the Bible calls us to be meek and humble. He causes us to love our brother. He commanded us to love our enemies. He commands us to be meek and to be humble, to die to ourselves. Our attitude should be that of Christ. The Bible says in Philippians that He came down and He was obedient even unto death. He took on the form of a servant. And so there's a time to be meek, and there's a time to serve, and there's a time to be lowly, and there's a time to be humble. But church, there is a time when we have to take up our sword and put on the full armor of God and declare the Word of God over our lives. Because it's not until we do that that we will be able to overcome in our life. not just overcome, but teach our brother to overcome. Teach our sister to overcome. And to walk hand in hand with each other to go to the other side. Amen? It's time the church rise up and take the full armor of God, take the written word of God, and as that written word permeates through your spirit and becomes the rhema word of God, we are able to overcome and to bring our brothers through. It's time to get out of bitterness and say goodbye to depression and walk in the fullness of Christ. Walk in the fullness of everything that Jesus died for, church. Today is your day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, God in heaven, I thank you. As we're about to celebrate Christmas and we hear all the music and all the Christmas songs and we get in that time of thinking about your birth and what you mean and what that birth meant to this entire world, we know that you did not stay a babe in that manger, but you became a Savior to us all. And because of that, you are the mighty warrior of our life. You govern us. You sustain us. You cause us to overcome. You sent the Holy Spirit in order that we may overcome and be warriors of our own right. You have caused us to be meek and mild. You have caused us to take off our tunic around us and wash our brother's feet. You've taught us to be humble. You've taught us to serve. But Father, you have taught us what it is to be a mighty warrior of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that those that are wounded in the battle, those that have had their peace severed, that have had their healing cut off, that had the Word of God captured and taken from them to the point where they no longer can hear the Rhema word, they no longer can enjoy the written word, and the Spirit of God seems to be fleeting from their life. I pray, Father, that today, Lord, is healing. Today is restoration. Today we put back on our armor. Today we pick up that belt of truth and we fasten it around our waist. We make sure that it's fitted properly upon our body. We put on that breastplate of righteousness that causes us to walk in an authority that is not our own. We put on the shoes of peace that are fitted beneath with those 3-inch spikes that causes us, when the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, you raise up a standard against us. You cause those spikes to cause us to hold our ground. And you cause peace to be in the struggle, peace to be in the fight, peace. And Father, we put on the helmet of salvation that puts our mind in the right state of being as we're overcoming, as we're struggling, as we're fighting, as we're bringing our brother and sister over the threshold. And Father, we pick up our shield of faith that acts like a door, acts like a shield that covers us from the front and over our head so that the fiery, flaming darts of the enemy cannot pierce us, cannot overtake us. And Father, we pick up the sword of the Spirit that is sharp on both sides. It is the written word of God. And on the other side, it's the Rhema word of God that brings a double whammy to the enemy. And Father, in all occasions, we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, we are alert. Always keep on praying. Always keep on praying for us and the saints. this morning, if you are in a place where you've dropped your shield, you no longer can find the sword of the Spirit in your life. If you're dealing with a stronghold, I want to end this series on a powerful note today. If that's you, you're struggling in those things, I want you to come forward right now. We're going to believe and pray over you, the Spirit of God. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to refresh you, to renew you, to transform you. In Jesus' name, I want you to come this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, as we do what we sang about that last song, we surrender this morning. We surrender, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you're out there. I know you're struggling. I know you're hurting. Come today, this morning. Come. Allow the Spirit of God to sweep over you. Allow the Spirit of God to transform you. Allow your brothers and sisters in Christ to pick your shield of faith up, to place that sword of the Spirit square in your hands again. Cause you to walk in authority and righteousness again in your life. Hallelujah. It's okay, I'm going to wait a minute because I know this is important. This is important. We need to overcome. We need to take authority over those things in our life. Because the weapons that we have are mighty. They are for pulling down and demolishing strongholds in our life. We take captive every thought and cause it to be obedient to the Word of God in our life. Because the weapons we have are mighty and pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you would you raise your hands this morning in a receiving, just in a receiving attitude? I'm going to pray over you this morning. Hallelujah. Before I pray, I just want you to begin to say, Father, I receive this morning. I put down my preconceived notions and I just surrender this morning. And Lord, I want to receive everything that you have for me today. Some of you need, you're so stubborn in your pride that you're staying in your hurt. You're staying in that place of darkness and you're not letting go. And I want to warn you that what you're doing is sin. What you're doing is purposefully not allowing the Spirit of God to sweep over your soul. It'll cause bitterness in you. So this morning, with your hands raised, I just want to pray over you. Father, I come before you, and Lord, I pray over each and every person in this building. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would sovereignly, powerfully, anointedly speak Rhema word over each and every hand lifted up this morning. Speak through their pain. Speak through their brokenness. Speak through their bitterness. Speak through their confusion. And bring healing over their soul in Jesus' name. Bring healing. Bring healing, Father. Bring healing this morning. Bring healing in Jesus' name. Bring healing in the name of Jesus. Bring healing, Father, over each and every person in this room. Begin to break through their minds, God. Begin to break through their spirit in Jesus' name. Let healing flow to their life, God. Let your written Rhema word of God flood their soul now, God. In the name of Jesus, let hope flood back. Let peace be restored. Let healing be set firmly in place. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the authority of your word, Father. Lord, I speak it over each and every willing heart, every yielded heart this morning. May it bring healing and peace. May it bring a spirit of authority upon their life again in the name of Jesus. May it cause them not to ever, ever be the same. Ever, ever be the same in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just worship the Lord, church. Let's just worship God just for a moment. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. For a long time, God, I haven't been able to raise my hands, Lord. For a long time, I haven't been able to sing with any kind of joy, with any kind of hope, Lord. For a long time, I haven't been able to raise my head up to find myself even worthy of your presence in my life. But Lord, today, Father, I take back what the enemy has stolen from me. I take it back in Jesus' name. I put on the full armor of God so that I can stand and overcome. Because Lord, I know and I've learned that I no longer fight for victory. I fight in the position of victory. That I don't have to overcome, but you have overcome for me. And because you have overcome for me, I yield to you, Father. Oh, Lord, I yield to you this morning. Lord, forgive me for my doubt and disbelief. Forgive me, Lord. Restore my soul. Would you restore my soul today, Father? In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.